Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on government intrusion upon your liberty and individual rights right after this. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush, our former president, said that what Americans wanted was jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. The money is not in public business, and it's certainly not in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's why I contend that it's time that we cashed in on our inheritance and learned how to collect the benefits of this old covenant contract and to collect our benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for a little more information on our CD Home School, our business school for adults. And at the same time, why don't you order our free General Law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary. It's a place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's educational, it's entertaining, and it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and just click onto the page and download it. You do that all automatically without me having to send you a plain brown envelope or package so that nobody knows. You can do it totally privately. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on and download it. Or if you're not on the Internet and you listen to us over some radio station somewhere in the world and you don't have a telephone and you need to make contact with us or something like that, or if you do have a telephone, call us at 417-273-4967. And that's area code 417-273-4967, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 297, Isabella, Missouri, and the zip code is 65676. All right, we're reviewing a book here in a section called Government Intrusion. Can we expect more government intrusion, more taxes, regulation, socialism, deprivation of privacy, guns, and increased licensing, and imposed health care, and a taking away of our midwives and our homeschools and so on? The answer to all of that is yeah, and much more of it. Much more of it. Not just here in the United States, but in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Western Europe, Russia, China, Korea, I mean, just around the world. We're getting ready to take on a new project. The last time we were doing a project like this was at the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. We were trying to create, preserve, and operate a one-world government with a one-world agenda. The creator of the universe, the creator of mankind, took a look at it, and he didn't like what he saw, confounded their languages, and scattered them all over the world. So we have Chinese in China. And then you have Frenchmen in France and Japanese in Japan. He scattered us all over the world, and as a result of that, we developed a lot of languages and dialects and one thing and another, totally unable to communicate. Now, we're back on track. We're to the point where we're about ready to impose this new world government on everybody worldwide. It's a part of a socialist agenda. Now, again, I want to tell you that the creator of the universe has a different agenda, and he says there's going to be a different outcome. But for right now, this is what we're up against, and a fellow by the name of Joel Skousen wrote a treatise on it. It's in his Section 2 Threat Analysis, and it's entitled Government Intrusion Upon Liberty and Individual Rights. And I read it, and I said, hey, I think this guy's right on point. We're right on point. I agree with his position. So I thought, well, let me tell my listeners, here's what I think. I think this guy's hit the nail on the head. And he's combined that with a philosophy. It's a strategic relocation, which also just happens to fit with a principle in biblical law. And it works like this. It says that a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself therefrom. Well, Skousen's thinking is there is an evil, wicked, one-world, new-world-order government coming, and you need to get the hell out of Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago and relocate someplace that's more intelligent. In other words, be a prudent man, foresee the evil, and hide yourself from it. And he did that in the context of a number of subjects, but last week I covered this nuclear war threat. I think he's correct. I think nuclear war is coming. I get that directly from the scripture. Nuclear war is coming. There's coming a destruction on the planet. There's plagues and famines coming. God-awful plague, God-awful famine. Famine to where people will commonly be eating other human beings. We are going to turn to cannibalism. That's how bad it's going to get. So a prudent man ought to stock up a little food, get out of Los Angeles, stay downwind, or upwind rather, from the nuclear fallout, and try to avoid as much of this chaos and destruction as is possible. That's my conclusion. That's what I've been teaching for years. That's this guy's conclusion. And I suspect that this guy's an old man. I don't think this is some kid 25 years old. Now, this guy's got a good head on his shoulders, and he's sitting there telling me some things that I hadn't thought of and didn't know. And so I'm sitting here, thank you, Mr. Skousen. I appreciate your insights. And I have implemented much of his program. I took it, and I bought and paid for his book. I thought it was well worth it. I don't know what the price is. I haven't checked it out, but I'm guessing that it's around 30 bucks. And I guess I ought to call the guy and ask him, hey, how much is your book? I might just do that today. Give me a report. So we're talking about government intrusion. It's page 145 to 176. So he's got about 31 pages of good information. Now, I've been sharing that with you. And adding a little editorial comment as we progress along here, we're up to the one-way system of corruption. The most interesting aspect of this system of conspiracy through predictability is that it only works in one direction. It works away from liberty, but never toward it. So we can lose our liberty, but we can't gain it by conspiracy. Now, you may wonder why. Well, it has to do with the basic cross-section of humanity that has always existed here on planet Earth throughout all of human history. There is a bell-shaped curve which shows the distribution of different types of people. There are a small group of the very best at one end of the spectrum, and then there's a small group of the very worst at the other, and a big hump in the middle composed of people who are or who can never quite compete with the rest. They are, in general, seekers after security in life, the Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives. They are generally not ideologically, they are not sophistical, or they're not ideological, they're not sophisticated, and therefore they have only limited principles and a limited ability to resist being manipulated by bad education and the purposeful omission of critical information by the media. So this middle group generally seeks the path of least resistance. And I can make the following generalizations about this majority of people with some confidence. All right, so get your pen and paper out here. Now, if you've got this written down yet, write it down. It's vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Get those five down. Vanity, number one. Jealousy, number two. Lust, number three. Greed, number four. And fear, number five. Okay, those are the five motivators of human nature. Skousen's hitting the nail right on the head. So now, that, look, we got a group of people out here. And here's the way it breaks down. 5% of the entire population are what we call extroverts. These are extroverts. These are people that can think, walk, talk, chew gum. They're affable people. They're natural public speakers. They're just likable. Barack Obama is a natural extrovert. Bill Clinton was another one. All right. Now, the other 95% of people are called introverts. These are shy, bashful people. And sometimes you'll take an introvert and convert him into an extrovert. I kind of think that it's genetic, but I don't know that positively. Once in a while, you'll convert one. Not very often. Not very often. And introverts are followers. Extroverts are leaders. And so the leaders rise to the top because they're extroverts. And the introverts naturally follow them. So the people who are following this blind madness called hope for the world economy, those are the introverts following Barack Obama, the extrovert who says, yes, we can. Okay, now the truth of the matter is, the answer is no, we can't, and we're not going to. We have it in the past, aren't now, and aren't going to. That's where reality's at. But we're going to give it the old college try, and we are going to do everything in our power. I mean, we're just going to work our hearts out. And when Barack Obama gets done, you people are going to love him because he tried real hard, even though he failed, just like FDR. Then the historians and the news media are going to chime in and are going to say, this is a great success. This is a great success. Imagine the failure that we were headed toward, and that didn't happen. And so what's happening to us now is a great success from what was going to happen to us. It's kind of like you go down and you get your vaccination for the flu, and then you get the flu and you're god-awful sick. And so being a natural naysayer, I come along and say, see, you got your flu shot and it gave you the flu, which is what I told you. And you're going to say, oh, no. No, I got the flu after I got my flu shot, but can you imagine how sick I would have got if I hadn't had my vaccination? See, that comes from hopeful people that, honest to God, believe in vaccination. They have never researched vaccines or vaccinations, don't understand it, and don't know why it works the way it supposedly does, but they're convinced that it saves their lives every time they get a shot, when in reality it's making them sicker and killing them. It's the exact opposite, but they don't see that. All right, now that being the case, trying to go out here and convert these people to reality is futile. And that's why I keep telling you, I'm not here to convince you that I'm right. I'm just here to deliver a message. Now, in the Bible, there are people called watchmen. And God instructed them as watchmen. He said, now I want you to go out and deliver this message to these fools and do it for me. Tell them here's the end that's coming. You trust in your high towers. You trust in your military establishment. And you think that your military is going to save you. You're going into national captivity, America. You Australians, you're going into national captivity. Your military is not going to save you out of this one. It's called the Great Tribulation. Now, you trust in your economists, and you trust in your wise men and counselors to save you from this great tribulation, or this great economic meltdown. You can forget that. You're going into a great depression, such as you've never seen before. And the worst fears that you can imagine are, in fact, coming to pass right in front of your eyeballs. That's where reality's at. That's what's going to happen. But your leaders, the extroverts, they come up and say, no, don't you believe that. Don't prepare for a great tribulation. And you're going to be raptured off and taken care of. You don't need to do anything. Don't you believe these naysayers now? Don't you believe that we're going into a Great Depression? We're just a recession. We're going to bail you out of it. Don't you believe in nuclear bomb war? It's unthinkable. We're going to save you. We're going to bring peace. We're going to bring peace. And these fools have not brought peace. They're not bringing peace, and they're not going to bring peace. They're going to deliver war. But they're going to tell you the exact opposite, and then they're going to ridicule and impugn the watcher. No, I'm not here to tell you what you ought to do. I'm just here as a reporter, and I'm reporting that there's a guy here named Joel Skousen wrote a book called Strategic Relocation. He hit the nail on the head. What you want to do is to get as far away from this evil and wickedness as you can get. Kind of like Moses, you know, and Korah. And then God told him, he said, now Moses, why don't you get over on the other side of the valley here? And then when you get over on the other side, walk up on the hillside a little bit. Get up off of the flat ground there. And then watch what I'm going to do here in this new election. Now, we've got a one-way system of corruption, and the most interesting aspect of this system of conspiracy and this corruption is that it works through five layers or levels, and we gave you the five levels in the last program, and now we're talking about the majority of people, this fifth group of people over here. They're not sophisticated enough to see through this. You know, they're just simple guys. They're nice people. Nice people. Not arguing about that. But they just can't grasp the significance of the wickedness here. And I fall into that group here. When I saw that airplane hit the tower in New York, and somebody suggested that this was an attack, you know, my mind just recoiled at that. I said, no, that can't be. Nobody could be that wicked and evil. You can't tell me that somebody would commandeer an airplane and fly it into a building with thousands of people with the intent of killing them. See, normal people cannot conceive of that kind of evil and wickedness. Well, I just couldn't believe it. I believe it now. I can't deny it, but it was beyond my mental capacity to absorb that when it was happening. And that's the way most of us are. We want to believe in Barack Obama and Tim Gaither. We want to believe that the Russians are sincere and they want to disarm for the benefit of mankind. It ain't so, but that's what we want to believe. Now, the average Joe Sixpack, these people are generally permissive with their own habits. They're overweight, soft, addicted to TV, pulp novels, and drugs, or some combination thereof. Number two, they are permissive with their children's behavior, especially in the little things. They can't keep their children under control. Three, they are susceptible to the liberal generalizations of socialism, the promise of equal results even though no person is ever equal. So they believe in from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. Sounds fair to me. They tend to prefer to get along and to avoid controversy and conflict, which often causes them to become yes men. Now remember when we started this series of programs, I said, I am a conspiracy theorist. See, that's very unpopular. So when somebody comes up to you and says, are you one of those conspiracy theorists? I answer them, yes, I am, aren't you? And then, no, I'm not one of those. They deny it. And that's because they want to be in the majority. Listen, if you want to be in the majority, join the Catholic Church. That's the majority. If you want to be in the majority, join the Democratic Party. That's the majority. Doesn't mean they're right. Just means that they're most of them. I would rather be right than president. I don't know who said that, but it was a good line, whoever it was that said it. Said, I'd rather be right than president. That wasn't Barack Obama. That wasn't John McCain. But that's the way most people are, and they don't want controversy. They're not willing to step out and say, no, that's wrong, and I'm not going to do that. Sodomy is wrong, but most Americans cannot say that. And so they join in with what they believe to be the majority, which it may be. I can't tell you who's in the majority here, but the reason sodomy is wrong is because God Almighty, the creator of the universe, said it's wrong. And little Georgie Gordon can't make it right with all of my protestations to the contrary. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't change it. So I have sided in with the minority, and I have said that sodomy is wrong, not because I'm so smart. It's because the creator of the universe said so, and I think he's right. I agree with him. I'm siding in with the minority here. But most people can't do that. Now, the average Joe Sixpack, now, they often don't have enough savvy to know the difference between distorted news or information when that distorted news and information is skillfully presented. Now, I gotta tell you, I fell right into that trap. When I watched those Twin Towers, shortly thereafter, Nova put on a special. And Nova said the towers collapsed because of the heat, then they pancaked to the bottom. And I believed that. It was a lie. It wasn't true. It didn't happen that way, but I thought that way. I thought, that's Nova. My God, if you can't believe Nova, who can you believe? Well, I thought Nova had it right on the barrel head, and so, and I produced a series of programs, and I said, well, here's what I saw on Nova the other day. Then I started seeing some other information, and I said, oh my God. So the Nova people and all the skilled architects and scientists that came on it, they're liars. It was a skillfully presented lie. And I not only believed it, well, why would I doubt it? Why wouldn't I believe it? Why wouldn't you believe it? So later on, though, when I got some more information, I said, uh-oh, I was deceived there. I made a mistake, which isn't too surprising because in Revelation 12, verse 9, here's our Creator says the whole world has been deceived. Does that include you? Because it includes little Georgie Gordon. I've been deceived in the past. I'm deceived now, and I'm going to be deceived again in the future. I'm deceived past, present, and future. I've seen it over and over again. Now, I do have a little bit of truth. I don't know just how much I have, but I got a little bit. And that's why I was very impressed here with Joel Skousen, because this guy is presenting the other side of the story. He said, hey, listen, let me tell you why it is that the average Joe Sixpack is never going to get off the tracks while the train comes through. Here's why. He can't. And then finally he says, the average Joe Sixpack, they have sufficient chronic violations of the promptings of conscience that they lose a good portion of their sensitivity to higher truths that are difficult to perceive and that go contrary to what everyone else is believing. So when they're exposed to the majority view, they go along with it because they haven't got the strength of character to oppose it, to stand alone and say, I don't believe it, that's wrong. Can't do it. In the Clinton impeachments, about 70% of people, that was a little over that, 73% I think it was, of the people said, what Bill Clinton does in his private life is his business and we ought to butt out. I was amazed when I saw that because in times past, the morality of America was exactly the opposite. If a guy was divorced, they wouldn't vote for him for president. If he was a Catholic, they wouldn't vote for him for president. Today, they'll not only vote for a Catholic, hell, they'll vote for a sodomite. Take a look at Barney Frank. The people of America have such low morality at this juncture of our history, no matter how they got it or where it came from. I mean, the morals of America are on about the par or about the level of an alley cat. And that's why we're hated and just despised by the people in the Middle East. The Muslims, you know, are pretty moral people. And when they see our Christian behavior over here, which is what we claim to be Christian, they just are repulsed by it. Hell, I'm repulsed by it. I can remember America when we were pretty damn moral people. I mean, you know, the Joe Sixpacks. I mean, we were still led by criminals and Satanists and wicked and evil men. But, I mean, the average guy down here on the street would not have said that what was going on with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky is all right. That's their personal private business. That would have been way beyond the pale. Today, as you're listening to my voice, you're sitting there saying to yourself, what in the hell is the matter with this guy Gordon? What business is it of his, what Bill Clinton's done? Well, the business is that Bill Clinton is a moral pervert. And if you have a pervert in the highest office in the land, he's going to appoint perverts to high public office, you know, like the Supreme Court and judges. And so your judicial system is filled, the vacancies are filled with these perverts. Now, did you want to be led by a nation of perverts or a nation of righteous men? You know, and probably most of you'd say, what the hell difference does it make? And this just points out and proves Skousen's point. Only another righteous man could recognize the value of righteousness. I'm not sure that wicked and evil men can see any value in right versus wrong. And so here's that age-old question that comes up. Well, what's wrong with Catholicism? Because it runs counter to the Scripture. What's wrong with Protestantism? It runs counter to the Scripture. That's what's wrong with it. We should be obeying the Ten Commandments, whether we're Catholics, Protestants, or Jews. And we don't. That's the bitch. That's what's causing this great tribulation. That's why we've got an economic meltdown. That's why we're ruled over by wicked and evil men who are going to raise our taxes, regulate us to death, bury us in socialism, take away our privacy, take away our guns, license us, force health care on us, take away our midwives, and send us off to relocation camps to be re-educated. That's the bottom line. Now, all of this equates to a malleable populace. And this is why it only took 2% of the socialist intellects in the Russian Revolution to take power. They were enticing the downtrodden people with socialist generalizations, which the people were susceptible to because of their basic human natures. Vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Hell, you're designed that way. You should be striving to overcome that. Now, conservatives of liberty often get the mistaken idea that it only takes 2% of conservatives then to lead the nation back to liberty. That is false. That's not so. And it never has been. Going back to liberty requires that the majority turn against their natural desires for benefits and security and wrestle with critical judgment, competition, and the consequences of chronic bad judgment. If we're going to go back to liberty, boys and girls, then the majority of us must reject social security. We must reject wickedness and evil at every level. We must reject the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and we must accept and embrace the 10 commandments, because that's where liberty comes from. Liberty does not come from the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Liberty comes from the 10 commandments. Let's wake up and smell the coffee here. So 2% of the people can lead people down the path, but 2% cannot push them back up the high road to character. There's simply too much natural resistance. See, if you can't control your own vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, then the wicked and evil men are going to control you through those five base elements of human nature. But no good righteous man can ever force you to give up your vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. That's something that's internal that has to be done by you. So that's why I tell my students, so you can forget about this. You're not going to go out here and persuade these people that they need to make a change and go back to the Ten Commandments. And the creator of the universe isn't trying to do that. All his interest is I'm going to tell you how this is coming out. And then I'm kicking ass, and I'm taking names. The creator of the universe is going to kick ass and take names, and it's coming down right now in front of your eyeballs. Every day you read about it in the paper, you're watching it right on Katie Couric and Brian Williams and Gibson on the 6 o'clock news. All right, now it's halfway point, and I've got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, which is online and you can download. Be sure to order one if you're not online and you're listening to us over radio in some far-flung reaches of planet Earth, and you can call us here direct at 417-273-4967. Ask for it, and we'll send you one. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, next, he talks about the people's natural aversion to the free market. Now, free market is a very important aspect of liberty. Without it, we can't have liberty. Free market. It's derisively called the black market, the underground economy. There's a number of names that are used. During World War II, it was illegal to participate in the black market. So they hang these labels on here to brand us as criminals. They did that to Jesus. They called him a Sabbath breaker. They were constantly branding him a criminal. The only guy on planet Earth that was obeying God and keeping his commandments. And what did they call him? A wine bibber. Called him a wino, a drunkard, a Sabbath breaker. They called him demon-possessed. I mean, they called him everything but a white man. Let's just wake up and smell the coffee. The religious leaders in Jesus' day didn't have one good word for him or anything that he believed, taught, or stood for. So anybody today that stands for the Ten Commandments, right and wrong, good opposed to evil, will be hated and despised, made fun of, ridiculed. And I think that's where this guy Skousen's at. Now notice he mentions the word character here from time to time. Character. It is that quality in human beings that makes them rise above their own petty desires. Character requires that you control your vanity, your jealousy, your lust, your greed, and your fear. If you could control those five base elements of human nature, you would have good character. See how simple that is? So as a salesman, I was taught and trained, now, when I went to school here, taught me, to take advantage of people who are lacking in character. We suck it to these people. We sell them things that they don't want, can't use, don't need, and shouldn't have. You know, like national health care insurance. Barack Obama is a good salesman without character. I used to be a good salesman. I didn't have any character either. I was out taking advantage of people, lying to them, cheating them, giving them sales pitches that were totally false. I got to tell you, I did it. I'm guilty as hell. And then one day I woke up to this, and why am I doing this? Does this really benefit me? Lying to people and stealing their money, does that really benefit me? And do I have to do that in order to make a living? Couldn't I tell the guy the truth? Sir, you're going through midlife crisis. You got a wife and six kids. Forget that whore down at Flo's Whorehouse and go back to your wife. I mean, that's the thing I should be telling him now. I wouldn't tell him that. I said, hey, let's go out and knock off a little on Friday night and have a good time. And then one day I woke up and I said, but why? What value is this? And you know, Solomon did that. Solomon wrote two real neat books, one Proverbs, the other Ecclesiastes. I wrote three. Wrote Song of Solomon, too. And he analyzed himself. He said, you know, why am I doing this? And he said, this is vanity. This is just nonsense. It didn't make any sense. The course of action that we Americans have taken over the last 50 years, it doesn't make any sense. Spending ourselves into bankruptcy and going out here and conquering all the little countries in the world and establishing military bases and a hedge money around the world and a super government in this quest for dominance and world power didn't benefit a single one of us guys down here at the bottom. Might benefit Henry Kissinger or David Rockefeller. I don't know what the hell their motives are. But for little guys like us down here at the bottom working down here at Mr. Goodrich's shop, it didn't make any difference to us. So people have a natural aversion to the free market. We hate capitalism. We loathe it. We love the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and that's what we're practicing, which the first plank calls for the abolition of all right to private property. Hell, the 10 commandments, the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal, establishes your right to private property. The 10 commandments are the exact opposite to the 10 planks, but we Americans are busily practicing from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs. And that's why we practice the income tax, the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. It's the exact opposite to tithing. It is the compulsory taking of somebody else's property to give it to somebody else to buy his vote. That's the purpose. Does it work? Like a shot. Does it work? Perfectly. It's worked now for 75 or 80 years here in America, and the people of America love it. They're not going to give it up. It's going to kill them, but they're not going to give it up. And they are destroying their free market. All of these bailouts for these big banks, that doesn't do anything for the free market. That just establishes fascism. We're in the process of underwriting fascism, undermining and destroying our free markets. We are impoverishing ourselves at our expense. Tim Gaither told us it's good for us. President Obama told us it's good for us. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid said, this is good for us. Okay, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But this is going to come to a no good end, and you might as well understand it right now. This is going to kill you. This is not going to come out right. Now, Skousen puts it this way. He says, the free market is inherently hostile to those of low drive and of low general skill or worth. The reason's very simple. The free market is the only economic system that, in fact, is a non-system. It simply is a combination of all of the judgments of every person participating in the free marketplace, judging everyone else and everybody's products. And they do it in combination with a legal structure that defends their freedom to carry out those judgments and to defend other fundamental rights and to settle disputes. And the wonderful results of all of these independent free judgments of all the people that participate in the marketplace is that over time this non-system tends to yield rewards in true proportion to a person or a product's true value. When a person doesn't like the judgment that he's getting, he tries to seek others who will give him a higher value. After a while, he finally sees that a certain level of reward that is fairly close to the actual true value of the product, the goods, or the service. So any of those freedoms, or if you take any of those freedoms away, and people start using the power of government to guarantee higher rewards than the free market would allow, that is always, and it has always been, the heady attraction of socialism. And why it is that the middle and the low-worth people desperately want socialism, and they push socialism. Socialism always promises high rewards and merely propagandizes people into thinking that everyone is of high value. But it's not true. So when egalitarian results are enforced, it distorts the markets, and it eventually causes dislocations in the true rewards that are due to other people. These dislocations of people's assets and rewards cause incentives to be lost and the economy to falter. Now let's just take a look here for a minute and analyze this. Last night I was watching the news, and we've got a free market system of insurance out here, see? And you can buy insurance, health insurance, from anybody you want. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's nondescript, and one thing and another. Well, the government's new plan says that we're going to require the insurance companies to insure people in spite of their previous afflictions. Now, at this moment in time, if the insurance company finds out that you have heart disease, they will not sell you heart disease insurance. They'll not give you health insurance to cover your heart disease. It's because they call it a pre-existing condition. Now, if there was an insurance company out there that wanted to insure people with pre-existing conditions, I'm sure they would have already done that. If it was profitable and if there was money in it, I'm sure that they would already have done that. Now, if I had heart disease, I would want to buy health insurance to cover my heart disease, and I wouldn't want the insurance company to know that. Well, Barack Obama and the new administration has come up with a plan. They're going to simply make it a law that you have to insure people with a pre-existing heart condition. Now, I'm an insurance company executive, so I'm running the insurance company. So the government is going to require me to insure you even though you have heart disease. So as a businessman, I know that what's going to ultimately happen is everybody with heart disease is going to come to me and say, here, insure me. And this is going to cause my claims to go up very dramatically, at least I believe it is, and therefore I'm going to raise my premiums on everybody out there that doesn't have this pre-existing condition. So all of you healthy people are going to have to pay for the pre-existing conditions of all the people that have heart disease. So all the people that have been out here eating fat, blood, pig, and other unclean foods and have bad health will now have to be subsidized by the people with good health. Now, I'm one of the people with good health, and I don't want to subsidize all you people with bad health. That's why I don't want to participate in this health program at all. I don't want anything to do with you people. None. I don't want to be one of the healthy people subsidizing you sickies out there, because you sickies brought it on yourself. And that's what the marketplace tells us. See, out here in the marketplace is selective. Sick people can't get health insurance. And the sick people that can't get health insurance should be asking the question, why can't I get health insurance? Because you're sick. The second question should be, why am I sick? Because the healthy people aren't sick. So if we could educate you and show you why it is that you're sick, because you've made yourself sick by eating fat and unclean meats, then you could do something about that. And see, your creator already told you the answer to the riddle. You want good health, follow my 19 health laws. So those of us that follow these 19 health laws are going to be cunningly coerced, because we want to participate in the socialist program, into giving over our treasure to you sickies, even though we don't need it, because we're the ones that obey God and keep His commandments. And so I'm sitting over here on the sidelines saying, no, I don't think I want to do that. Now, I'm not opposed to all of you sickies out there buying insurance, and I'm not opposed to all of you wellies out there providing the wherewithal to insure and provide health care for all those sickies. I mean, I'm not here to tell you people what you should or shouldn't do. What I'm opposed to is you sickies and you healthies out there telling me what I have to do. Boy, that really bugs me. I didn't care for that at all. I don't like your regulation over my life. Now, you people are all laughing and making fun of me, but I practice 19 health laws. I'm 70 years old. I don't wear glasses. I don't have any health problems, and I'm happy as a clam at high tide. I got my 3 score in 10 years. I could expect to die on average at age 75.6. 75.6 years. And I don't expect to live to be 110, but I would like to live to be 75.6. That's the national average. But as far as God is concerned, He has fulfilled His obligation to me. He guaranteed me 3 score and 10 years if I would obey His health laws. I did that. He fulfilled His end of the deal. I fulfilled my end of the deal. I'm a free agent. I'm on my own now. Now, I want to participate in this free marketplace. I like this free marketplace. I think it's a hell of a neat idea. I like this eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And I would appreciate it if the rest of you people would stop stealing from me and taking my wealth and my productivity and redistributing my wealth among other people. Now, I know all of you poor, sick people out there would like to share in my wealth, prosperity, and productivity. And I don't blame you. I would like to share in Bill Gates' wealth, prosperity, and productivity. I would like Bill Gates to give me $1 billion. But I'm going to take it a step further than that. Bill Gates does not owe me $1 billion. Bill Gates does not owe me one red cent. And God love him, I hope you go out and make another $37 billion, Bill. And I hope that you worked for, produced, and are entitled to every dollar that you possess. I am not entitled to any of your money, Bill. And I don't think that anybody should, by force and coercion, take your wealth from you and give it to me. I don't believe that you owe me anything, Bill. Nothing. Now, if you think you do, and if you, out of the magnanimous, overwhelming desire in your heart, want to give me some of your wealth, thank you, thank you, thank you. I would appreciate it in any amount. But I got to tell you, Bill, I really don't need it. I don't want it. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that are far more needy than I am and could really use and could really need your help. And I think it should all be voluntary. And Bill Gates is quite a giver. He has resigned from his company. He has gone full-time into philanthropy. He's giving money away as fast as he makes it, maybe faster. And he's trying to share his wealth with those that are less fortunate than he is. And God love him for it. That's a good attribute, good for him. But I don't think that it should be taken away from him by force and violence or by coercion. And that's what the president is proposing. He says, you know, we're going to go to all the rich people and we're going to take their money away from them and give it to these people to finance our health program. Now, here's the United States of America flat-ass broke. I mean, we are bankrupt. It reminds me of some fool who is bankrupt and says to his wife, we can't meet our payments, but let's go out to the Lexus dealer and take a test drive in a new Lexus. And while we're at it, let's go look at new houses so we have a new garage to park our new Lexus in. I mean, we Americans over here have just taken total leave of our senses. We are madmen here. The entire nation has gone mad. Now, you Chinese over there are about to get stiffed for the $2 trillion that we owe you. You're not going to get paid. And all the rest of you people around the world, we're not going to pay you, not because we don't want to, we can't. We don't have the ability. If our government could tax Americans 100% of everything we create and produce, we could not pay this debt. It ain't possible over any period of time. The interest is now growing faster than our gross domestic product. It's impossible. It's a dead letter issue. Now, we tore away from our free market system. That's the system that made America what it is, the envy of everybody in the world. And now we're in the process of destroying the last vestiges of the free marketplace in America. Our president and our Congress are in the process of doing that. They're destroying our economy. Now, if that isn't a conspiracy, if there isn't two or more people involved in this plan or this program, this insane monster called bailouts and stimulus, now you tell me what you think that is. Because by the end of this year or by the end of next year at the latest, we're going to have ironclad results coming back. And all of this hoop and hoopla and all of this hope of change is going to come back and bite us all in the ass. That's where we're headed. Now, we had it all, and we threw it away. Not entirely clear why we thought throwing what we had away was going to benefit us, but we have. We've exported and outsourced our jobs. We've created monster corporations that we're busily bailing out to the tune of trillions of dollars, which they're the ones that created this debacle in the first place. And we're out here saving Bank of America and Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. I mean, if that isn't insanity, boys and girls, it's got to be the closest thing to it that I've ever seen. Now, over the long haul, judgment deteriorates and people become greedy with class conflict and envy. Remember what I told you here? Vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. This envy, these class convicts, this greed, it's just natural. Now, the bottom line to all of this is that no one has a right to any predetermined judgment. And that's what socialism and egalitarianism promises, which is a pipe dream. And it's a dangerous pipe dream at that. Collectivism always leads to increased intervention as more and more minorities or special interest groups like Bank of America and Citigroup and Wall Street call for government protection against free judgment. The political ability of representatives to deliver benefits to their constituents, also known as pork barrel politics, is an essential part of the process of making sure that people pleasers and populists rather than statesmen will have the advantage in any popular election. So where we're headed here is the same place that the Athenians in Greece went with their democracy. When democracy reaches its zenith, which we have, and the people learn that they can vote their largesse out of the public treasury, like the Roman Empire and every empire that's gone before us, we deteriorate and we go into bankruptcy and collapse. Then from collapse, we go into war and national captivity. And then some new empire will come and take our place. Now that's the history of the world, and that's where we're at today, and that's what's coming upon us tomorrow. And any thought that you're going to stop this train is a pipe dream. If it was going to be stopped, it had to have been stopped 50 or 75 years ago. Maybe as late as 1936, maybe you could have got off that train, maybe. But by the time you start educating people to accept all of this largesse, like Social Security and public benefits, well, then I want to get my share too. And when we get to that level of greed, where I want my share too, that's where we're at with 51% of Americans now taking some benefit from government. Now, I've worked hard to take no benefits from government. I go out of my way to avoid it. The Amish go out of their way to avoid taking any government benefits. They don't want any licenses. They don't want to do business with the banks. They don't want to do business with government. They don't want licenses to run their buggies or run their businesses and so on. They don't want Social Security. Now, there's not very many people in the country that want that. That's what character is all about. Character is the overcoming of vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. People with character can do it. There's not enough people with character left in America any longer to do that. So that being the case, then there's an inevitable conclusion that's going to come from our activities. And the inevitable conclusion is not going to be good for us. And so that's why I recommend Joel Skousen's book. Let me put an arrow right here. I'm about out of time. We'll take a look at the education connection next time. Let me remind you that this is the second edition. Strategic Relocation is the name of the publication. And it's Joel Skousen. JoelSkousen.com. There's another guy named Joel Wallach out there, too, but that's another story for another day. Go to the email, joels@joelskousen.com, or call him direct at 801-224-4746. Again, that's area code 801-224-4746. Strategic Relocation. We'll take it up right here on page 151, the Education Connection, next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.